All right, open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Isn't it wild we're getting ready to enter into the roaring 20s? Isn't that something? Seems like just yesterday they were talking about the Y2K bug. And think about it. That's almost 20 years ago. Now, doesn't that make you feel old? It makes me feel old. Luke chapter 13. Look, if you would, at verse 6. It says, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do for us. And Lord, we're thankful for these folks that's come out this morning, Lord, to hear your word preached and to spend time in worship with you. Lord, they sang out this morning praises to you. And Father, I just pray you bless them for being here. And Father, there's no greater blessing they could get than hearing from you, Lord, through your word this morning. Father, as we look at these scriptures and as we consider these things this morning, Lord, help us to consider our lives. Lord, I pray there's somebody that's not saved today, Lord. I pray today will be the day that they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, that they can know for sure that they're going to heaven one of these days, Lord, when their time comes to depart from this world. And I pray, Lord, as Christians today that, again, that we'll look at our lives and we'll think upon the things that the Scripture says to us, Lord. And I just pray that we will respond to the message you have for each one of us this morning. Lord, it doesn't do any good just to hear the message. Lord, we must respond to it. And so I just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us this morning, Lord. And you'll give those in the church whatever they may need. They may need encouragement this morning from the Scriptures. They may need salvation. They may need to get right. But Lord, you know what's needed. And Father, I just pray that you'll put it in our hearts to take care of whatever it is we need to take care of. Now, Lord, I just pray you'll bless the message. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this passage really is an amazing parable with a sobering truth. The parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That is what a parable is. A heavenly story, or an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And sometimes you'll notice that Jesus would take something that people were familiar with and he'd tell a story about it. And when he would use that, he would use that story as an illustration. Now, he didn't always do that. There was a certain part in his ministry that he began to speak in parables because the people, when they would hear his teaching, they were not responding to his direct teaching. In fact, they were dull in hearing, according to Isaiah chapter 6. And what the Lord did was he quoted Isaiah chapter 6, and then from that point on, he started speaking to them in parables because they weren't responding to his word as he was teaching it. So he started to preach to them in parables. Now, I will say this, that's kind of commonplace for everybody because we read our Bibles, we know what the Bible tells us to do, and we know that the Lord speaks to us through the Scriptures, but we don't always do what the Lord wants us to do. Amen? We don't always obey the Lord. We don't always do what the Scriptures tell us to do. And so really, we're not a whole lot different than what the children of Israel were, the nation of Israel, when the Lord began to speak to them in parables. But he does speak to them in parables, and he starts here, and he gives them a parable here. And this story would certainly be familiar to the people who were living in that day. Here's a man who owned a vineyard, and in that vineyard he had a fig tree. And obviously the purpose of that fig tree is just like it would be with any other fruit tree, is to produce fruit. I'll tell you, there's not a whole lot more discouraging than when you have a fruit tree that doesn't produce fruit. Or if you plant tomatoes and those tomatoes do not produce fruit. In fact, I will tell you that when it comes to growing tomatoes, I can grow the prettiest tomato plants you've ever seen, but there won't be a single tomato on it. And I'm thinking to myself, it doesn't do me any good for it to be looking all beautiful and green when I don't get to eat a tomato. Amen? And so it's certainly the fig tree was to produce fruit. That's what it was. That's the reason God put it on the earth, to produce fruit. It was produce figs. That's why it was in existence. And you would reasonably or normally expect that in a period of time you would come to that tree and in season you would be able to pick the figs off of it. A fig, as with any fruit tree, would be useless if it did not produce a fruit, or if it did not produce, in this case, figs. And this fig tree in this parable really just kind of occupies space. In other words, it's really not any good to anybody. It's just sitting there occupying space, not doing what it's supposed to do. So for 3 years, according to this parable, for 3 years, the owner of the vineyard had come seeking fruit on the fig tree, and he couldn't find any. Evidently, he was rather frustrated at this matter. So he said to the man who was keeping the vineyard for him, he says, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. So cut it down, why cumbereth it to the ground?" In other words, he's saying, it's not bringing forth any fruit. It's just cluttering up the ground. So just cut the thing down and get rid of it. But then the keeper of the vineyard said this, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after thou shalt cut it down." And what he was basically saying is this. He was saying, let me do work on this fig tree. Let me dig around it and fertilize it. Let me work with this tree for a little bit and give it 1 year. And then after 1 year, if it still hasn't produced anything, then we're going to cut it down. Now, he's saying at the end of the year, if there's no fruit, we'll cut it down. Now, this parable here was aimed at the nation of Israel. In fact, the fig tree in this parable represents Israel. Israel had not been producing fruit like God had wanted the nation of Israel to produce. And so God was teaching them that eventually they would no longer be the main focus of God. But what I want you to think about this morning when we read this parable is that in this parable, the tree has how long to live? If it doesn't produce fruit, it's got 1 year. In 1 year, if it does not produce fruit, it's a goner. Amen? They're gonna cut it down. So the fig tree only had one more year to produce fruit or it'd all be over. Question for you this morning. What would you do if you knew you only had 1 year left? What would you do if you knew you only had 1 year left? What if this is your last year, the one coming up? What if it's your last year? The truth of the matter is we don't know. We don't know when our last day will be. None of us know how long we have to live. We don't know if we're going to live 1 year. We don't know if we're going to live 1 month. We don't even know if we're going to live 1 day. Life is uncertain. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." One thing that we can be certain of, and that is the uncertainty of life. We just don't know. On the other hand, the Bible tells us that death is certain, is a certainty. Unless Jesus Christ tarries in his coming, it is certain that every one of us will die. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Death is certain. Only the time of our death is uncertain. We don't know the time of it. So the question is, what would you do if you really knew that this would be your last year? Probably most of you think that you have many years left. And I pray that that's true. I pray that you do. But it is possible that maybe some in this building this morning will enter eternity before this coming year is over with. And if this were your last year, what would you want to do? My question is if you're lost this morning and you knew this was your last year, would you get saved? If you're lost here this morning, you know that you're lost. It isn't like you're saying, "Well, I think I'm lost." No, listen, either you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior or you haven't. Either you have called upon him to save you or you haven't. Either you believe he died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day, or you don't. Now listen, if you believe that and you have called upon him, then you're saved and you're going to heaven and you don't have any worries about where you're going to be if your time were to come this coming year. May I tell you that I can say with absolute certainty, if this is my last year on this earth, to be honest with you, that'd be okay. Why? I know where I'm going to be. Amen? There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that if this is the last year that I have on this side of eternity, I know I will be in the presence of the Lord, and that's fine with me. Question is, do you know that? And if you don't know that this morning, and you have on 1 year to live, why wouldn't you get saved? Why wouldn't you do it? Are you ready to meet God? Do you know for sure that you're saved? And I don't mean a hope-so salvation. You know how many people I speak to and I say, well, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. The first thing I want to do every single time is say, what church do you go to? And they'll tell me, and I'll say, why do you waste your time going there? Listen, if the best that you've got is, I hope I'm going to heaven, you could have stayed at home and got that. There's no reason to come to church, and if that's what you're getting when you come to church is, I hope I'm going to heaven, and that's what they're teaching, that you might or might not, did you not know that before you started coming to church? There's no reason to, listen, why waste your time? But may I tell you this, if you're saved, that Bible says that you can know that you're going to heaven. If you don't believe it, it's right there in 1 John 5. In fact, it's so direct in 1 John 5 that it says that the witness of men, that the witness of God is greater than the witness of men. And then it gives you the record that God gave of his Son. And it says that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. May I tell you this morning, if you have received Jesus Christ, you have life. And you're going to heaven. And somebody says, well, I just don't know if I'm going to go or not. I think you could lose it. Then you're calling God a liar over in 1 John chapter 5. Read it for yourself. Because he said, this is the record, and the witness of God is greater than the witness of man. What I'm trying to say is this morning, if you are saved, and this is your last year on this side of eternity, then you know where you're going. That's okay. But if you're not saved, what in the world are you waiting on? If you knew this was, you only had 1 year or less to live, why would you put it off? Wouldn't that seem a bit strange to do that? To say, well, I might die this coming year, or I think I'm going to die this year. In fact, I think that June 12th is going to be my last day. Hopefully nobody was in here was born on June 12th. I honestly just threw that date out there. But if you knew for a fact that June 12th is your last day, wouldn't you get saved? And if you say, well, I wouldn't, why wouldn't you? Let me ask you this. How many of you know that you're going to be here by June 12th? How many of you know you're going to be here by tonight? You're not assured of anything. Why wouldn't you get saved? Why wouldn't you get saved? What would be your reasoning? The Bible says if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day and call upon him, he said he would save you, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. He'll save anybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're not saved, will you get saved this morning? That first question is, would you get saved? Now, the rest of the questions that I'm going to ask you, that if we knew that we were going to not be here after this coming year, really applies to those that are saved here this morning. And if you are saved this morning, let me ask you, if you knew you only had 1 year left, what kind of church member would you be? In other words, you know, what would you do different as a church member? Now, we all need a church. Amen? We all need a local New Testament church. We all need a church family. We all need a fellowship of believers around us who can support us and encourage us and our families, who will pray for you, who will be there to help you when you need it. That's why it's so important to have the fellowship of a local church. And if you're not a member of a local church, you know, I happen to know a pretty good one. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think Graceway Baptist Church is a pretty good church to be a member of. Amen? And you say, why? Because we have people here that pray for each other. We have people here that care about each other. Listen, you walk in the door, you can't, listen, I have been in dead churches. This is not one of them. Amen? When you walk in here, there's a certain feel about it. There's a certain warmth about it. and people genuinely care about each other and we pray for each other. Listen, that's what a local church is supposed to do. And it's good to have a church family that when you're going through something, they will sit there and pray for you. If you say, oh, I need more than prayer. No, prayer is the best thing that you could have. Amen? And they pray for you, and they're there to encourage you, and they're there to help you out. It's a good thing to have to be a member of a church. It's a good thing to have that fellowship. It's a good thing. Listen, I understand that we have, you know, potlucks and stuff like that. And by the way, those are really, really good. I understand that. But that's not the purpose of the local New Testament church. That's just kind of the quirks of it. The purpose of it is to edify each other. Isn't it nice to have a place where you can come and be edified and learn things about the Bible and have fellowship with people? That's the reason it's so important that you be a member of the church. The question is, though, if you only had a year left, what would you do different as a member of this church? What would you do more for this church this coming year than what you're doing right now? Would you be more faithful? Would you pray for the people of this church more? Would you volunteer to do something in this church that you're not doing right now? What would you do different as a member of this church if this year, this coming year, was your last? May I ask you, why wouldn't you start doing it now? Again, we don't know when our last time is. And then the third question, and that is, if this were your last year, wouldn't you want to make things right with people? Wouldn't you want to make things right with people? And you say, well, what do you mean? By that, I mean apologizing to those people that you've wronged and forgiving those people who have wronged you. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There was a time that there was once this man, and me and this man did not get along very well for a long, long time. And I will tell you, it was probably 99% me. I was filled with pride. This man, I think he had pride too, but it was mainly me. And we just did not get along with each other. I mean, if I did something, he would try to do better than me, and I tried to do it better than him. And we got to the point where we would backstab each other, even if we could, just to make the other one look bad. And I can honestly say that man was an enemy of mine for probably 30 years. Couldn't stand to be in the same room. In fact, it was so bad that when I got together with some people that I used to work with, that man wanted to come and be a part of the group, and they came up to me and asked me, would it be okay if he came? Now, I can imagine them coming up to a pastor and saying, would it be okay if that man came, because they knew that we didn't like each other. And when I finally saw him, we were cordial, shook hands. And I started, the Lord was just working on my heart something. I mean, he was working me over. And if I knew, I had to apologize to that man for the way I'd treated him for 30 years. And I did. I walked up to him, and I just flat out told him, I've been a jerk for 30 years. Would you forgive me? And that man started to cry. And he said, you know, I was going to tell you the same thing. And since then, you know what? I found out that he has a beautiful family. He's a good man. He works hard. And he's saved. I gained a friend. And you know what? I can honestly go to heaven and know that I had the chance to apologize and make things right with somebody, and I took that chance. I got to tell you, I feel a whole lot better now. A whole lot better. Let me ask you something. Is there somebody you need to get right with? There's somebody that you've wronged that you need to say, I'm sorry to. There's somebody you need to make things right with. You say, well, how about the person that wronged me? Yeah, you know what? We're all going to get wrong from time to time. That's life. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to forgive those people that wrong you. You've heard me say it a million times. I'll say it again. Listen, there is nobody wronged you since you've been saved like you've wronged the Lord Jesus Christ since you've been saved. Nobody has treated you as bad since you've been saved as you've treated the Lord Jesus Christ since you've been saved. Oh, Pastor, that's just hardcore. Yeah, it might be, but it's the truth. Listen, Do you do everything that Bible tells you to do? Do you pray like you're supposed to? Do you read your Bible like you're supposed to? Listen, when you're not right with the Lord, do you confess your sins always like you're supposed to? You say, well, not always. You're not treating Him right then. Amen? When you put something ahead of the Lord, how do you think that's treating the Creator? Who said, have no other gods before me? When you put something ahead of Him and worship something else ahead of Him, or let's say when you have time that you could come and worship Him and you choose to do something else because that's what you want to do, you're not thinking about Him, how do you think that's treating Him? Not treating Him very well, but yet He forgives you. He forgives you. Why wouldn't you forgive somebody else? What have they done to you that's so bad you couldn't forgive them? I'm not saying you have to trust them. I'm not even saying you have to like them. But the Bible does say you're supposed to forgive them. Amen? Listen, if you only had a year left, why wouldn't you want to make things right with people? Why would you want to go into eternity knowing that you couldn't forgive somebody for what they did? Why would you want to go into eternity and stand before the Lord and knowing that you could have made it right with somebody that you had wronged in the past, but you chose not to do it because of pride? Boy, wouldn't that be something to take with you into eternity? If you only had a year left, why not just get right with them? Why not just make things right? May I tell you, you don't know if you have a year left. You may have less than that. Why don't you do it today? You say, well, this person gets under my skin. Mm-hmm. It's called a family. You ever go to a family reunion? Does everybody just get along great? No, there's always an Uncle George there that nobody likes. There's always an Aunt Margaret there that talks about everybody else, to include Uncle George. That's the way families are. Do you think your church family be any different? Of course people are going to get underneath your skin, but I tell you what I have learned that even when you go to a family reunion, you may bicker back and forth, but woe be to the person that comes in there and messes with Uncle George, because the whole family be on top of them, amen? Why? Because we're family. There is a love-hate relationship. There is that, you know, where we don't always get along, but may I tell you, we are family. And may I tell you, if you have something against somebody in this church this morning, if somebody's wronged you in this church this morning, if you've wronged them, maybe you've been gossiping. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said about somebody. Maybe you said something behind their back. Maybe you make somebody mad and you know it, and you say, well, it's their problem, not mine. That's a horrible attitude. Their problem, not yours. Make things right with people, because you never know how long you have. If you read over Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind of the Lord. You know what that was? That was showing that there in the church of Philippi, there were two ladies that weren't getting along very well. It happens. Maybe it's happened to you. If it hasn't happened to you, eventually it will. But if you only know that you have only a year left, wouldn't you want to forgive them? Wouldn't you want to make it right? You know, for the young people, maybe you've disrespected your mom and dad. Would you want to go out to eternity knowing that you disrespected your mom and dad and something that you said? So many people today wish that they could go back and take words back that they said in the past. They wish that they could go back and change things, take back some of the things that they said to mom and dad. And they keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until one day it's too late to say what you need to say. May I tell you, you don't know how long you're going to be here, and you don't know how long the person that you have a problem with is going to be here. You don't know when your parents or your grandparents are going to be here. You don't know how long anybody's going to be here. Make things right now. Amen? If you've done something you shouldn't have done, if you said something you shouldn't have said, make things right now. If you only knew you had a year left, wouldn't you want to make it right with people? Or how about this question? If you knew you only had 1 year left to live, would you read your Bible more and pray more? I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that if you knew that you were going to die within this year, you would be praying more than you've ever prayed, and you would be reading your Bible more than you've ever read your Bible. You say, how do I know that? Because you know that there are certain things in that Bible that you need to know. you know that there are certain things in that Bible that's going to give you a whole lot of comfort, because after all, you've only got a year left. And you would be praying every day. Praying and praying and praying. Some of you would be praying and say, Lord, give me more time. But you'd be praying. And I guarantee you'd be reading your Bible. Because in that Bible, it tells you that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that a good thing to know if you've only got a year left? I mean, that's a good thing to know. I mean, we all want to know where we're going to be when we die. And the Bible says, for the believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That means when you die, you're going to be instantaneously in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good thing to know. I'll tell you another good thing to know. That the Bible also says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's a good thing to know too, amen? I mean, if you're going to die within a year, to know that one of these days that grave's not going to hold you. You're going to come up out of that grave. You know what you'd be doing? You'd be reading. You'd be reading and getting comfort from those things. Why are you waiting? Oh, if you're not reading your Bible like you should, why aren't you? Why would you act any different if you knew that you were going to die within the next year than you would if you didn't know if you were going to die in the next year? Why would you act any different when you don't know when you're going to die? You know, the disciples said to the Lord, in Luke 11, 1, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Don't you think most of us, if we had to do over, would want to learn to pray and pray more than we have? Let me encourage you this year to have a devotional life. Read your Bible daily. Study your Bible. I'll even go out and challenge you that, you know, we should be memorizing Scripture. Right now I'm trying to memorize, don't laugh, but I'm trying to memorize the entire first chapter of John. And it is hard. But you would be surprised how much that helps me at night just to calm down. Doesn't matter how bad the day's been. If I'm sitting there and saying, okay, now, what's that next word? And what does it say? And then finally I go through it and go through it and I go through it. Of course, I have my daughter sitting there reading the Bible. She's, nope, you missed a word. Nope, you missed a word. But you know what? After I keep on doing it and doing it and doing it, it really helps me out. Memorizing Scripture. That's what you need to do. May I tell you also that if you read your Bible 45 minutes in the morning and 45 minutes at night, and you read the average speed of people in America, the speed that they read. If you read 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes at night, by the way, we watch TV that much. 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes at night. I watched a football game yesterday that lasted longer than that. And may I tell you that if you do that, 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes at night, every single day, and you have a year left, you'll read your Bible through 12 times before you die. You think about that one. 12 times in a year if you read 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes at night. Now, here's something I want you to think about. Sometimes we all think that we're real spiritual, and we think that if we read our Bible once every month, we've done God a great favor, okay? But I'm just going to tell you that knowing that, there are some people that have never read their Bible through. And I'm not hacking on you if you've not. I want to encourage you to do that. I want you to encourage you to read your Bible through. You should read your Bible through, thinking upon what you're reading. Don't do it just to say I did it and cross the T's and dot your I's type of thing. Actually read it through. Think about what it's saying. And it doesn't matter if it takes you 3 years to get through it. Just read your Bible. Amen? That's what you should do. But I tell you this, I'm thinking about how it would be to stand before the Lord and Him knowing that you could have read that Bible and you've had that Bible for years and years and years and have never read it through. How would you like to stand the Lord on Judgment Day with that one? You say, well, if I had a year left, that's what I would do. Why wouldn't you start now? You don't know. Maybe you don't have a year left. Maybe it's less than a year. Why wouldn't you start now? Then finally, the last question, and that is, if you only had one more year to live, would you spend more time telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us that we're all to witness, and we all witness in our own particular way. It's a seed sowing process. Some of us plant the seed, some of us watered a seed. But all of us, if all of us were to go out right now, everybody in this church, everybody is sitting here right now, if all of us were to go out and start witnessing in the city of Great Falls, can you imagine what that last year would be like for you? Can you imagine seeing people getting saved in your last year upon this earth? Can you imagine seeing the possibilities of revival hitting Great Falls in the last year that you're living? Wouldn't it be a great thing to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ in your last days before you departed from this world and went home to be with the Lord? You say, well, yes, I would do that if I knew I had a year left. Well, let me ask you something. How long do you think the people you're witnessing to, how long do you think they have left? Question. If you had a family member right now that was on a deathbed, and you knew that that family member did not have long, and you knew that family member was not saved, would you go witness to her? Yes, you would. Why? Because you say, you know what, they don't have long. I need to get there. I need to witness to them before they pass. So that way they have an opportunity to be saved. Amen? That's what we would all do. When you go out to witness people, how do you know that they're going to be here tomorrow? How do you know they're going to live longer than a year? You don't know how long you're going to live, and you don't know how long they're going to live. Why aren't you out there telling people? Why aren't you out there telling people? You say, well, you know, 1 year is a long time. You think 1 year is a long time. Hey, listen, how many of you think that this year went by pretty fast? I mean, I'm telling you what, it was like yesterday that we were sitting here watching the year in review that John made last year. And it's been a whole year. It's been 20 years since Y2K, like we said. That's nuts. Time goes by fast, folks. It goes by fast for us, and it goes by fast for those that we're witnessing to. May I tell you, we need to get busy. We need to live as if we only had 1 year to live. Now, I will tell you that when we read this passage here, that we're never told whatever happened to that fig tree. Now, we know that Israel never got right with the Lord. We know that, and we know that God today is not working with the nation of Israel. He's working with whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. We understand that. But technically, in that parable, it said that that tree had 1 year to produce fruit, or it was going to be cut down and it was going to die. It had 1 year, and we're not ever told. Maybe it started producing fruit and it lived a whole lot longer than a year. Maybe it did not start producing fruit and they cut it down and it died. We're not told. It's kind of a open-ended story, really, if you think about it. We don't know how long that tree lived. And you don't know how long you're going to live either. It could be that you live for another 20, 30, 40 years. It could be that you'll die tomorrow. I'll tell you this. This past week, we lost a dear sister, a member of our church, Sister Hazel. And she went out in a very quick and strange way. It was just a cut on her arm that got a sickness, a disease in it that would have resulted in her having to have her arm amputated, and it actually got into her body, and that's what killed her. And it happened just like that. She was able to be with her family Christmas Eve. She was able to be with her family Christmas Day. She was in the hospital the day after that, and she was going to meet with the Lord the day after that. Mighty fast, folks. Mighty fast. Let me ask you something. How long do you think you have? You don't know. If you don't know, why don't you get started doing those things today? If you're not saved, get saved today. If you are saved today and you say, I want to start doing something in the church, then start doing it today. You say, I want to make sure that I've only got a year left. I want to make sure that I make things right with people. Then start today. I want to go witness to somebody. I've got a family member I need to witness to. They're getting up in age. I want to witness to my neighbor. I heard he was sick last week. Go witness to him. Why are you putting it off? We're not guaranteed of a next day. Whatever it is you need to do, you need to go do it. Amen? Quit putting it off, and let's live like we have very little time, because the truth of the matter is we just might have very little time. Let's stand.